Good morning, all of you, and thank you for being here. What a blessing it is to be together as a family of God and to see, I think all the songs kind of summed up my teaching for today. So we could go home, but I think God's got a little bit more for us to learn and grow in. And what a privilege it is to be able to speak God's word and to just be together, because none of us are ordinary anymore. We once were, when we were dead in trespasses and sins, but we're not. We've been redeemed. We are made whole. I've been working on trying to understand greater a special verse, and we can put that back on here. Ephesians 3:20, which we've had on the screen, is an amazing verse, and I've been asking God to show me more of what it really means. So, it says, "Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." And that's the King James Version. There's a wonderful prayer in Ephesians that is the context of this verse. And I'd like to share that with you, and then a practical side on how to walk with the power working in us. So it says here that according to the power that works in us, and we see that we are not ordinary anymore, it's Christ in us, and that's important for us to realize if we want to really see the power of God in our lives. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told his disciples and apostles that they would receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon them, and they would be witnesses of him and over the whole world. And that's what it is. That Holy Spirit is power. And my title of my teaching is The Power Working in Us. So Bob reminded us a couple weeks ago about the bridge that between our natural man and the spiritual beings that we are in Christ, and that's prayer. Prayer brings us into the throne room of our Heavenly Father so that we can sit, jump into his lap, and enjoy that fellowship as an intimate child. And part of that knowing God is having that intimate relationship. You know, the Bible isn't just a book to read. Some people say it's a great literature, but it's power. And that's what we want in our lives, because we're not ordinary anymore, right? And as greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And we got an old church choir too. All of us working together, building together that Christ to the world. It's pretty amazing. Prayer is a vehicle that takes us out of the natural world's limitations. So if you don't want to get answers, don't pray. It's God. If you go to prayer, you should expect to receive, because God wants to answer your prayers. We are spiritual beings. We live in a physical body, but the real you is spirit. We now live in the realm of the miraculous. We now live in the realm of the possible, because Mark 9:23 says, "All things are possible to him that believeth." So there's nothing impossible with God. And now in our new nature, there's nothing impossible for us, because God works in us. We're not alone. You know, it's like, okay, I'm born again, now I have this package of power, and I'm going to plug in. Well, God is at work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, just like Jesus said, "I can't of my own self do nothing." He walked with the Father. He stopped when he had something to do, and he wrote in the sand trying to figure out what to do. We have that same relationship that we can bless this world. We are spiritual beings. We live in a physical body, but the real you is spirit. Oh, I think I said that. Okay, well, I say it again. When we pray, we come in the authority of heaven. We meet our Heavenly Father in his throne room. You could say we chat. You know, you have a video chat, Google chat. We have that access to the Father. We have that personal meeting time with him. When we pray, we expect to receive answers. We expect beyond a shadow of a doubt our Abba is going to give 200%. You know, exceeding abundantly above. We think 100% is really great. Well, He gives 200%, because when you come to Him with your prayers, there's no one else He's dealing with but you. He has that capacity to deal with each one of us 200%, because He's able, in Ephesians 3:20, He is able to do it exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Isn't that amazing? I think if it said, now unto Him that is able to answer our prayers, all that we ask or think, that would be great. Or now unto Him that is able to abundantly above all we ask or think answer our prayers. Or now unto Him that is, but He says exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's not limited to anything. Time, space. Whoops, did it again. I seem to have this problem at times. But He is not limited to anything in our lives. So we need to come as His children and expect the limitlessness of our lives with Him and the power that we have that works in us, that He is working in that power. That's why on the practical side, we have to get our address right. Where do we live? We just hang in there. When someone asks you, how are you doing? You say, oh, I'm hanging in there. No, we live in the heavenly realm. We're seated in the heavenlies. We're at the right hand of God. We're next to our brother, Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ on assignment to preach the gospel. That's where we are. We're just here for a very short time. But we have to deliver that power, that strength, that love of God. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to look at the prayer in Ephesians 3, and which is the context of 3:20. And we'll start in verse 14 of Ephesians 3. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And this is God's desire for us, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, that's all of us together, what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. These are the things that God's desire is for us. When someone prays, they're desiring something. Well, this is written by inspiration of God, and these are the important things that He wants us to know. And then, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. When we walk in that power, God gets glorified. Jesus Christ is glorified and the church is built up. And Jesus Christ is coming back for a glorious church. He's coming back for us. So, let's look at the prayer request. 3:16 says, it says to be strengthened with might in the inner man. How do we strengthen ourselves in the inner man? We speak in tongues, right? We read the word. We get built up in God's thoughts towards us. Isn't that wonderful? But we need to stay focused on who we are in Christ. Remember our address. Verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Christ may dwell. And that word we don't use that much, but I think abode is another word, and Gino used that in his song. I thought that was great. That Christ may dwell in your hearts to settle down in a fixed dwelling place. Isn't that cool? He's permanently inside of you. He doesn't go out on vacation. He's right there. Every moment you breathe, God in Christ is in you, to willing to do of His good pleasure. So we're never alone, and we have that power, so we need to exercise it, right? Yes. So we renew our minds to who we are as a new creation in Christ and realize his permanent abode in us. Our identity in Christ is so important. That's what Reverend Ken Petty shared all the time. You have to know who the real you is. The real me is not Jeannie Linfeld, who's flesh and blood, but it says Christ in me that I want to represent to you. We can fix up our flesh, but that's not going to give you power. That love of God, that forgiveness, that encouragement is what's going to represent Christ. Verse 18 says that you may be able to comprehend, understand with all saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we will know the whole extent of that love of Christ, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now we have to renew our minds to this word. It's not osmosis where, please put it in there. We have to make a diligent effort into the Word of God and change our thought patterns. So much we get into our phones, we get into the internet, all that stuff, TV. But what does that do for you? Does that give you power? No. That really, it distracts from what your priority is, and that is to live as Christ. You know, that was the great mystery, that if the devil would have known that it would be Christ in each one of us, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. That's how important our lives are. So as we believe in God's ability to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, he works with that power in us. So it's just tremendous. And Reverend Ken Petty, in his Ephesians class, used the Weymouth translation for Ephesians 3:20, and it says, "Now to him who, in the exercise of his power that is at work in us, is able to do infinitely beyond all our highest prayers and thoughts, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, world without end. Amen." That's the result of walking in that power, is that glory to the church and to Christ Jesus for generations. Our lives are important. Are we not living the book of Acts today? Well, part of the book of Acts is all about power, and that's what we want to do. We want to see that power in our lives. The Amplified Bible of Ephesians 3:20 says, Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly more than all that we dare ask or think. Dare ask. Infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams. According to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory to the church. He's able to carry out. God is able. You know, that's the first thing. So we know that he's confirmed it. So where's the missing link? Since God is able to do, are we limiting his work in our lives? Are we allowing the limitlessness of God to live in us? Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, I'd say that was limitless, right? Couldn't be any greater than that. Are we limiting him to work in our lives, to will and to do of his good pleasure? He will do exceeding abundantly only to the degree that we manifest the internal potential power of the Spirit of God in us. We manifest it. The bottom line is, we are responsible to walk in this power. God works through us in this power. Jesus was never left alone. Think, oh yeah, God popped Jesus on the earth and then said, okay, son, you do your thing, and then I'll come get you. That's not how it worked. He was working with him. He said, I can't of myself do nothing. We are the same way. That power is working in us, and God in Christ in us exercises that power. But we have to have that word. We have to renew our minds, because he's not going to, if I'm sitting reading a comic book and trying to, if I'm not building myself up, how can he work in this? Because I'm not going to expect to hear his voice. We want to hear his voice. We heard that in the song. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. We are laborers together with him. We are his fellow workers. He has great plans for each of our lives, and it is at work in us to willing to do it of his good pleasure. As we believe it will be released, we will release the power of God latent inside of us and believe God with expectancy for the abundance he has promised. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, those two chapters, is all about spiritual matters, about the nine manifestations, about the gift ministries, about the one body working together. And sandwiched in between that is the love of God. And 1 Corinthians, we can look at that. 1 Corinthians 13, 13:13 says, "And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Those three need to abide in our lives. We have to have that faith, that building up of the word. That hope is that assurance that God's word will come to pass, and that Christ will return. And then that love. We cannot walk without love. Let's look at Colossians 1:9. So if you want to know more about that spirit within us, go to 1 Corinthians 12:13 and 14, because nothing can be do without, we can't do anything without love. But Colossians 1:9 is another prayer talking about this God filling us with all spiritual understanding. And it says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." You know, he can, through the Spirit, he can talk to us and he can tell us things that we don't know. And he can communicate so that we can bless someone else. That's that realm of the miraculous. "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Another prayer, that's God's desire for us, that we walk worthy. It's a walk. That power is a walk of power. "And we be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." You know, people are qualified for certain things because they have the ability. Well, we are qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Isn't that something? God wants us to be fruitful in every good work. So we have to walk in that power. And he rewards those that diligently seek him. He rewards those that walk faithfully. And I want to share an incident with you of a wonderful privilege I had working with a couple. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, Bob and Jan and I were up in Oregon for a wedding of Bob Moser and Trish Barbera. And I think there's been some confusion on Trish Barbera is not Trisha Fonda. but Trish Barbera is a wonderful believer that she and her family were in San Diego for many years. And Bob Moser and his wife were in San Diego in 1983. They moved the word with us. And last October, Bob Moser called me and he said, "Jeannie, I know you know a lot of people." His wife had died a few months before. And he said, "You know, I have another 20 years of my life, and I don't want to be alone. And I believe God has more for me to do." And he says, I'd like to meet someone and start as a pen pal, and then see if we can develop a relationship. So as he's talking, I'm just listening, and all of a sudden, I just get goosebumps. And God told me that Trish Barbera was the woman for him. And that was exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think, because God was working in me to get something going. And 2 months before, and this is God is in the details, as Daniel did a marvelous job last week teaching on that, that he lines everything up. And 2 months before that, Trish came to town, and she had was taking out her last things that were in storage and moving to Houston. And she had been married for a long time and got a divorce, and she was faithfully moving the word and doing what God wanted her to do. She's a great teacher. She's edited many of Jan's books. A wonderful believer, loving, kind. Never complained that all of a sudden now she has a life on her own. So she just stayed faithful, and that what is God, what God does, he rewards the faithful. And so we took her out to dinner, and as she was leaving, I said, Trish, you have a mighty ministry, and God has someone for you. I had no idea this call was going to come from Bob 2 months later. And God reminded me of that. So I said to him, oh my gosh, 2 months ago, Trish was here. I told her that there was a man that would be there to take care of her so her ministry would excel, and a man that would bless her and that she would bless him so his ministry would excel. And without the power of God, I wouldn't have been able to do that. So I called Trish and said, this is something God is working, and I confirmed her address. She wrote her a letter. She got the letter, and instead of writing back, she just called him. Said he had his number there, so she felt that was okay. And it's just been a romance from heaven. He was married 42 years. His wife had cancer for the last 13 years. And he adored her, took care of her. She at one point was on our prayer list, and she called me and said, Jeannie, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I want you to take me off of the prayer list. She says, I know there's someone else that needs to be on there, and God's taking care of me. And she was able to say goodbye to her children, and he had called me the day after she passed and said, we're doing great. And I believe Cindy probably had prayed to the Father that Bob would find someone, that he would be taken care of. I see that now, because it was such a, he was ready. 4 months later, he was ready. God had, and he, the day before his wedding, he was ordained to the Christian ministry. So it's just all these things fit together. But that is God working in us. And we can expect that when we have a need, he's going to answer that. He will give us the desires of our heart. And greater. Like Claudia, you don't have to wait for insurance for healing. God has already given you that assurance of his word in your ankle. He wanted me to tell you that. He wants so much for our lives. And if we would just reach out and receive and work with him, we would see this room full. We would see our lives. There wouldn't be any limitless. Our lives would be limitless. So I think to close, I just want to say that, shall we walk in his power?
Amen.
All right, that's what I want to close with. So bless your hearts. Father, I thank you that you are so in love with each one of us that you would give all the attention that we need so that we could have our needs met, and that you, because of the power of Christ in us, that you can work exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So I thank you for any needs in this room this day that we expect that you will answer those, that you will work in the details, that no one will be lonely, no one will have lack, that we will just have abundance in all things. And I thank you for putting people in our path that we can share this message of deliverance, this message of hope, this glory in the church. And I thank you for just loving each one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.